It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum, the podcast that looks at world news and views from a Christian perspective. This is episode number 90. And as per the previous few, obviously the whole world has been dominated by COVID-19. We're giving maybe a slightly different perspective on it. But there are many other things going on as well. Now, Italy is one of the countries that's been most badly hit, although there are some signs that the rise in the number of deaths is decreasing, which is good news. But in the midst of all that pain and suffering, there was this astonishing moment. Andrea Bocelli in the cathedral in Milan singing about the only hope that we can have, Amazing Grace.
Yeah, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and the mortal life shall cease, I shall.
For me, that was an absolutely amazing and beautiful moment. And another one was the Queen's Easter message. Now, those of you who listened to last week's Quantum, and by the way, if you didn't get it, could you let me know? Because there seems to have been some difficulty for some people, and I'm just wondering what's going on. I'm hoping we haven't been banned. Who knows? But in last week's, we mentioned the Queen, and we mentioned the fact that her COVID-19 message seemed, for me, very unregal-like. It didn't really mention her Christian faith, and it seemed to me that it was written by government mandarins, lacking the personal touch and lacking the faith. Well, she more than made up for it with her first ever Easter message. Listen to this.
This year, Easter will be different for many of us. But by keeping apart, we keep others safe. But Easter isn't cancelled. Indeed, we need Easter as much as ever. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose, and we can all take heart from this. We know that coronavirus will not overcome us. As dark as death can be, particularly for those suffering with grief, light and life are greater. May the living flame of the Easter hope be a steady guide as we face the future. I wish everyone of all faiths and denominations a blessed Easter.
Wow. So, the good news of Christ's resurrection. We need Easter as much as ever. Well, I'm not a royalist, but God save the Queen and God bless Her Majesty. That was, I think, just absolutely spot on. Easter has not been cancelled. Christ has risen. And then we had another message, this time from the Prime Minister as he left hospital, thankfully, recovered or recovering from his serious, I think, probably brush with death in ICU because of COVID-19.
Good afternoon. I've today left hospital after a week in which the NHS has saved my life, no question. It's hard to find words to express my debt, but before I come to that, I want to thank everyone in the entire UK for the effort and the sacrifice you have made and are making. When the sun is out and the kids are at home, when the whole natural world... We will win. because our NHS is the beating heart of this country. It is the best of this country. It is unconquerable. It is powered by love. So, thank you from me, from all of us, to the NHS. And let's remember to follow the rules on social distancing, stay at home, protect our NHS, and save lives.
Now, what can we say about that? First of all, we have to say that we are thankful for his recovery and we continue to pray for him. Secondly, I thought that video was very effective because he came across as deeply personal. It seemed as though that was his, not his scriptwriter's. And one is reluctant to, and it appears almost churlish, to critique anything in it that was so personal. I love the name-checking of the nurses, by the way. And I've seen some really, really horrible responses to it. Honestly, we live in this bizarre, twisted, hated world where people will accuse him of genocide because he doesn't have the same policy as they would require. But there was one part from where he talks about the NHS. Is the NHS a religion? I mean, he says, it's like he's talking about God. Our faith is in the NHS. We will win because our NHS is the beating heart of this country, unconquerable, powered by love. Now, I love the NHS. In one measure, I owe my life to the NHS. My daughter works for the NHS. Lots of my friends work for the NHS. I have a lot of time and I'm very supportive of the NHS. But no. We cannot have the NHS as our religion. I'm sorry, it's not the beating heart of this country. It's not unconquerable. And to be honest, I don't think it's powered by love. I don't know. Maybe Brendan O'Neill added a much needed balance to this. Listen to what he has to say.
You know, the one thing that did worry me about Boris's message to a certain extent is this kind of the worship of the NHS. Now, I think NHS workers are doing staggeringly amazing work. Everyone agrees with that. But I worry that this message of protect the NHS, which is the kind of almost ritualistic message that's being pushed out, I think even that could be having unintended consequences. So we know that there is now evidence that fewer stroke patients and fewer heart attack patients are going to hospitals, not just in the UK, but in other countries too. I'm worried that we're pushing such a message of effectively stay away from the health service, protect it at all costs, that that could be harming health too. And we could see people dying earlier than they otherwise would have because they're not going to hospital, either because they don't want to catch the virus or they don't want to be a burden. So I think we have to be very careful in how we present the lockdown, in how we talk about the NHS, and we have to start focusing, which I think Boris wants to, on how to ease the lockdown and when we can start doing that.
Now, that's actually a very real issue in different areas of the world. So, for example, here in Australia, the government has had to encourage people to go to the GP and to go to the doctor for things that are not COVID-19 related. In fact, it's highly likely that here in Australia, there will be more people who will die because of neglecting their health because of COVID-19 than those who will die from COVID-19 itself. This idea that you stay away from healthcare in order to protect the NHS because the NHS is the idol. No, the NHS is a tool. The NHS is there to help people. And if you're sick, then you go to the NHS and you hope and pray they have the capacity to deal with it. All right, here's another disturbing aspect of all of this. Listen to this police chief constable.
We will not at this stage be starting to marshal supermarkets and checking the items in baskets and trolleys to see whether it's a legitimate, necessary item. But again, be under no illusion. If people do not heed the warnings and the pleas that I'm making today, we will start to do that.
Yeah, you heard it right. What was he saying? He was saying that police were going to check shopping trolleys to see that things were, whether they were essential or not. I know one person, or read of one person, who got in trouble because he bought a birthday card for his mother, and that was not considered to be essential. Now, we need to be rational here, and we need to be reasonable. In the vast majority of countries, and I would certainly say in the Western liberal democracies, most of the police are reasonable. However, when you give police extended powers, you will always find that there are some who their inner authoritarian comes out and they just cannot resist taking the opportunity to intimidate and to bully. So in the United States, we've had some ridiculous examples of police arresting a surfboarder, for example, who's not near anybody else at all. And in the United Kingdom, we've had some ridiculous examples as well. And also here in Australia, we've had some ridiculous examples. I think, let me give you one from Brisbane, where a man went to a local council dump to dump some stuff and was charged by the police for doing an unnecessary journey. And they had to rescind the fine because, of course, it was the local council who opened the dump, thereby expecting people to go to the dump. They therefore cannot deem it to be an illegal activity. But you can be sure that there is an authoritarianism that does creep in. And I think that's also seen rather sadly in some of the extreme restrictions. Now, one of which I am absolutely delighted, just as I was about to record this, I heard that the UK government are actually pulling back on this. What am I talking about? I'm talking about not being allowed to visit your dead and dying relatives. Well, I'm sorry, if I lived in Scotland and my parents who live up in the Highlands were dying, I'm going to see them. I'm sorry. I'm not leaving them if my wife is dying. I remember being in hospital and I remember being seriously ill and I remember people thought I was dying. And I remember how desperate I was to see Annabelle and my children and how unbelievably cruel it would have been to prevent that. I was getting so many infections, they could have said, we can't let you in because there's a risk you'll bring an infection in. But it was so essential. And I think it's so dehumanizing. And I honestly believe that part of the reason for that is not out of concern for people, I think it's out of concern for figures. We need to stop more people getting this, and we need, you know, for our own government's reputation or health services' reputation. No, I can't understand why a close family member cannot be given PPE, personal protection, and allowed to sit with their loved one while they die. The emotional damage in refusing this could be absolutely enormous. So I am delighted that the UK government have now changed that policy. And then there's another aspect of this which continually bothers me, and you may be not very happy at me keep repeating it, but what about the poor? So I read a report this week that 1.5 million people in the UK have gone a day without eating because of this, of starvation in Italy. But most of all, I read, and I'm sorry I'm not able to, or I heard, and I'm sorry I'm not able to pass it on, a podcast from a church in Africa talking about how the poor were being discriminated against there, because when a government decides to do shutdown, then it shuts down the markets at night and the poor are coming back from work. The poor need something to eat, and you shut down the markets. Why? You know, that's madness. And I do think the impact of this upon the poor, I've just noticed how often it's the kind of middle-class suburbanites who are yelling most, the Twitterites, the Guardianistas, who are yelling most for shutting down everything. Yeah, but what about the poor? All right, we're going to stay with this, but the other item of main news in this is the fact that President Donald Trump announced that he was not going to fund, or the US was not going to fund, the World Health Organization anymore. Well, on the one hand, that sounds absolutely dreadful, because the World Health Organization sounds like a great organization. It's world and it's health, and it helps doesn't it, deal with pandemics? It helps deal with all these situations. To the ordinary layperson, this seems like a rather strange, Trumpish thing. Now, any of you listening to this know I'm not Trump's biggest fan, but I think he's not far off on this one, to be honest. So, listen to Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the WHO Director General.
China doesn't need to ask to be praised. It was not, it is not. That's the truth, the whole truth. Almost all member states were praising China for what it did. China took action massively at the epicenter, at the source of the outbreak. It's a shutdown of the Wuhan city, and that helped in preventing cases from being exported to other provinces in China and the rest of the world. We should tell the truth, and that's the truth.
Now, what was he doing in that clip? He was defending China and defending his defense of China. And let me just go through some of the things that he and the WHO have done. First of all, Dr. Tedros is a member of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, a Marxist liberationist party, which was listed as a terror. In fact, it is listed as a terrorism organization. In 2017, he tried to have Zimbabwean dictator Robert Mugabe appointed as a WHO goodwill ambassador. As a minister in the Ethiopian government, he covered up cholera outbreaks in the country. In this particular pandemic, he has repeatedly praised the Chinese Communist Party, passing on their propaganda, failed to declare a health emergency for a full month, despite knowing on January the 1st that human-to-human transmission was occurring. He denied it to the world on January the 5th, January the 12th, January the 14th, and did not admit it until January the 22nd. He strongly advised against any travel or trade restrictions to China on January the 5th, January 11th, 12th, 23rd, February 5th, and February 29th. And he even rebuked the US for imposing restrictions against his advice. Meanwhile, the virus spread throughout the world, largely because of international travel, which the WHO, to be honest, at the insistence of China, said was fine. Anyone who dared to criticize him, he accuses of racism. And he says that in seeking to limit travel, that creates stigma, which is more dangerous than the virus itself. No. I don't have trust at all. In fact, maybe the other aspect of that is with Taiwan, that the WHO, there was an interview in which they were asked to talk about Taiwan and they refused to because they're adopting China's line that Taiwan is not really a country. They won't recognize Taiwan despite the fact the pandemic is there, and they won't listen to Taiwan despite the fact that Taiwan is probably the most successful country in dealing with the pandemic. And why is that? Because they didn't trust China. Okay, let's think of something else. Many of us who I'm zoomed out, as you might say. I'll be preaching on Sunday at Scots Presbyterian, except I will be here and it will be by Zoom. I have the privilege of listening to my son from Charleston Community Church in St. Peter's. Wonderful. He's got a big fan club over here in Australia as well. These sermons, by the way, are absolutely on Job are just stunning. But there is a danger with all of this. There are some Christians thinking, this is great. This is the way to communicate in the future. Well, I want you to listen to part of a sermon by a man I often disagree with, a preacher in the US, a guy called Doug Wilson. Just listen to this.
Let's suppose that God, in his great mercy, lifts his hand from us, and that by mid-May, things have returned to normal. Okay, wouldn't that be nice? Mid-May, sun comes out, birds are chirping, grass is green, everything's back to normal. In mid-May, we will be just days away from June, designated as Pride Month. Pride Month, a time of LGBTQ celebrations. Now, are we going to go back to, is that what we mean by back to normal? Is that what we mean by everything's clear now, back to normal, back to Pride Month, back to mandatory Pride Month, back to Christians keeping their heads down, trying to evade the authorities in their big corporations so they don't get hammered or fired or laid off or in trouble with HR because they are insufficiently celebrating? Wouldn't it be better to call it Dog Returning to Its Vomit Month? Isn't that what it is? Dog returning to his vomit month. Really? Seriously? Do such rebels think that a respite would not be a mercy of God? They would much rather think of a much simpler explanation. It's actually a simplistic explanation. They think that perhaps God is running out of ammunition. This is like Pharaoh thinking, when the plague of frogs was removed, that Jehovah had somehow run out of frogs. Exodus 8:15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a rest.
Somebody else who often disagrees with him, Rod Dreher, wrote an article defending him. Why? Because Google had banned him because of clips like what I've just said. So they banned his church from broadcasting. Here's the thing. If we come to rely on the internet, what if Zoom, who, for example, are strong advocates of abortion, what if they say, no, you can't do it through us? What if Google say no? What if YouTube say no? It's a very, very dangerous and disturbing precedent. All right, let's just move briefly to a couple of other things. First of all, do you recognize this?
Goodies, goody, goody, yum, yum.
Well, I think if you're of a certain age and you're from the UK, other countries as well, perhaps, you will recognize the Goodies. And this week, Tim Brooke Taylor died. I loved him not because of that so much as because of, I'm sorry, I haven't got a clue. It's sad to see somebody else from your past, somebody else from your childhood, from the entertainment industry, go. But the Goodies do leave fond memories.
He has infinity in which to listen to the split second of prayer put up by a pilot as his plane crashes in place.
Coming in on a wing and a prayer.
We have produced some new content from Third Space. It's a podcast called Life in Wartime, which takes a reflective and serious look at how we live with this kind of war against coronavirus, but how we do normal things, how we love, how we listen to music, how we teach, and so on. So the first one is out this Friday, out just as this podcast comes out. Please do go onto the website, subscribe. You can scribe through iTunes, Apple, all the usual sources. But enjoy it. And then finally, I'm going to leave you with the audio from a great song, Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. The psalmist is not saying, by the way, his help comes from the hills. He's saying, I look to the hills and think, where's my help going to come from? And his answer is from the Lord. Well, that's true for all of us. If you have an opportunity, go onto the website, see the clip, because it's got some beautiful photography of, or videos of, Scotland and even of St. Peter's, because this was sung in St. Peter's by collected free church choirs. But that's what we do. We look to the Lord for our help. Wherever you are in the world, feel free to send in your information. If you want to support this, please feel free to go onto the Podbean fundraiser to do that. But most of all, if you're a Christian, cry out to the Lord. May he preserve and protect you and enable you to share his good news. And if you're not yet a believer, seek the Lord while he may be found. Now is the day of salvation. God bless you all. See you next week.